Okay, it's wonderful to be together this morning. I'm glad all of you are here. I want to continue this morning with what we have been looking at with Nobodies of the New Testament. And just to be transparent with you and share openly with you, Bill Weatherford has actually done a longer study than I have on that. And he sent me his file, which is 60, I think. Maybe it was 59. And he thought of a much nicer title, which is People Paul Knew, instead of Nobodies of the New Testament. But pick the one that you like, and we'll just go with that. We'll try to mine what's in there. And today, what I want to do is share with you one of the people out of the New Testament named Epaphras. And Epaphras, I'm sure you don't talk about him very much. Epaphras is someone who is an example of intercession and how we might pray. And I've shared with you a bit my own habit of praying, and my habit of praying works when there's one particular element in it. And if that element isn't there, it's okay, but it doesn't work all that well. And the element is this. I need to pray what Jesus is already praying. I need to hear what Jesus is praying, and then I pray that. Then my prayer life works. If I'm all by myself, me and Jesus, and I'm telling Jesus what's on my mind, and I let it go at that, it doesn't work too well. I've rehearsed what's on my mind, but I'm not in a position to really go any further with it than that. And that happens to me all the time. It takes a lot of discipline for me to be able to listen to what Jesus is praying right now. I have to quiet down and be settled and tune in and all of that. And it could take some time. And if I don't get it when I sit down to pray, my usual time of praying, that's okay. That's all right. I just know I didn't get everything I could have gotten. In fact, every time I pray, no matter what goes on, no matter how clearly I've heard Jesus, there's always going to be more that I could have gotten. Because Jesus, as you know, is infinite, omniscient, God, Lord Almighty, and all this, and I'm not going to get it all from him in one sitting or for the rest of my life. Just not going to be there. So I keep listening and keep gaining and doing what I can to tune in. And that's the key to it right there, the key to prayer. You can choose whatever style you want. You can choose whatever time of the day you want, you can choose any kind of process that you want, but it's got to have that element to be successful or fruitful, or pick the spiritual word you prefer, however it goes for your prayer. Very, very important for that to be the case. And I know an awful lot of the time I don't catch what I need to catch from Jesus. So I just come back and do it again. Maybe not that same day, but maybe the next day or the next time I have my prayer time. Just need to catch that. And I'm just basing that on a number of things. And one is that you know what Jesus is doing right now, don't you? Right at this moment, he's praying. Way to go, Pete. That's why you're in the front of the class here, right? He's praying. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he lives forever to give intercession for us. So he's praying right now, and he's praying for you and everyone else around. And if you catch when he is praying and you agree with that, you're going to be a pretty good prayer, because Jesus is a pretty good prayer, wouldn't you say? Yeah, he'd be very good at it. So if you pray what he prays, you're on a great path. And that's what we see with Epaphras. He was a man who was given to prayer to the degree that Paul mentioned it. Paul told him about it. Actually, he wrote to the church in Colossae about it, and the Colossians probably remembered him because Epaphras was a man who was instrumental in starting the church at Colossae and in Laodicea and Hierapolis, those three places. And he was agonizing over them in prayer. Now, that's what gave me the clue. As I was looking at that, that's what gave me the clue that he was praying the same thing Jesus was praying. Because you remember when Jesus was in the garden, he was agonizing in prayer. It was agony for him to the point where he sweat blood. And you remember what he was praying. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours. He wanted to get what the will of the Father was. Epaphras agonized, strove, dove in head first so that he could hear what Jesus was praying and agree with that. That was the key thing for him. Now that's just, as I mentioned, essential for our prayer life and for the way to go. And Epaphras is someone who represents to us the dynamic of the Christian life of reaching up to God so that you can get the prayers he would want you to pray. I remember last week we were looking at Archippus, who reached in to the fellowship so that he could grow and see more of Jesus that way. And the week before that, we were looking at Nympha, who was leading a house church that was reaching out. So today we'll kind of round out the three parts of a Christian life that keeps you really rolling along, and that's up to God, into the fellowship, out to the world. And these people are examples of that. Now, one of the things that Epaphras did, I think, that is a key, is that he listened to God. God bless you, Richard. He listened to God. He just tuned in and wanted to catch what God was saying. And that is an absolutely necessary item for our prayer. And it is in many, many places in the Scriptures. And one of them that I'm going to find for you right now, I feel like I'm in a vacation Bible school with Bible drill. Remember that? Any of you win Bible drill when you were growing up? No, that's okay. That's all right. That's why you're in the Episcopal Church. I understand. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1, 2, and 3 says this: guard your steps when you go into the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. In other words, when I present my list to God and let it go at that, that's the sacrifice of foolishness. And it's not evil in that I'm kind of, I don't know. Going around with a goalie mask, mutilating people or anything like that. evil is just going away from God. Just a little more general. So that's what this is about. There is a sacrifice that is foolish, which is moving away from God. Do you remember when King Saul defeated a city, and through Samuel he got the message from God to sacrifice everything? Everything gets demolished. Everything, every person, every animal, everybody. And Saul found out that Samuel saved the king and a few others, so that'd be a great idea. And do you remember what Saul said to Samuel? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. And then went on from that point, was that Saul said to Samuel, and the Lord says to you, from this day the kingdom of Israel is taken from you. It is ripped away from you and given to another. See, Saul was moving away from the direction that God wanted to go in. He had received, he had heard what God wanted and went the other way. So that's what this is about. Be not rash with your mouth. This is when you go into the house of God. Nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. you can probably still count on this sermon being about the average length that I usually give, but still, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. You will receive a dream from God, and then the temptation, which is mine, and I'm assuming is yours, is to go start saying, thank you, God, I got it from here. And you come out with your strategic plan and everything you want to do, and you tell all your friends what's going to happen, and I think I know what I want to do with my life, or whatever it is you're receiving a dream about, and off you go doing all kinds of things because you've got just a little nudge from God. And what you want to do is rest on the nudge. Let your words be few. Let the dream grow inside of you. Let what God wants to have happen within you start happening so that you can move in that direction that He has for you. And that can happen in many different ways. You can hear from God in all kinds of different ways. It can be a memory. It can be a thought that goes through your mind. It can be something from today, a song that we sing, something that you hear, whatever it may be. Be all kinds of ways that God will speak to you. Be a picture that comes to your mind, and that's God speaking to you. And that becomes part of your prayer. That's what you begin praying about. And you run with that. Now, Epaphras had a couple of things on his mind. And those couple of things had to do with the people in the churches that he had helped to be a founder of. And what it says here, Epaphras, who is one of you, who is part of the church, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling or agonizing on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. So there's two things on Epaphras' mind. One is that everyone in that church would be fully mature. And full maturity means that you become like Jesus. You have the stature and the presence of Christ that is with you. You remember when godparents present young children to be baptized, that's one of the promises that they make, that they will spend their time, spend their money, live their life in such a way that the person they are godparents of would know what the full stature of Christ is. It's a promise that they make. That's what Epaphras wanted for all the people of these three churches, that they'd be in that full stature. They would stand mature, and that they would be fully assured in the will of God. See, when you're in the full stature of Christ, what is happening is your character is becoming like the character of Jesus. And your abilities, what you're competent in, is becoming like the things Jesus is competent in. And you kind of don't stand around thinking, well, all right, here I am in this situation. What would Jesus do? The question changes for you to, what did Jesus do? And you do that. That's the character of Jesus and the competencies of Jesus working in your life. That's what it is to be mature as a Christian. And then you stand assured in the full will of God, that you know what the full will of God is. In other words, Epaphras is praying, Lord, I would love to see the people of these churches come to you in prayer and know what you are praying so that they can pray the same thing. They just know what the full will of God is because God is revealing it to them. Epaphras gets those two things to be praying for from God. You just don't naturally think those things up on your own. I mean, at least I don't. When I'm thinking about people that need prayer, I have my own list of things that I'd like for them to have. Like, how about the driver that cuts you off? Don't you have your own list of things that you like to be praying about for them? But God has something. Jesus is praying for that driver right at that moment. Now, it's a little difficult to tap into what that is, but there's something going on with that right there. That's how you can be operating in prayer. That, by the way, is how you pray always, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Pray always, rejoice always, and in all things give thanks. Well, how do you do that? Well, what's Jesus praying about right now? You know, is there anything that comes to your mind, anything that aggravates you, anything that pleases you, anything that's happening, Jesus is praying something about that right at that moment. And you can tap in on that and agree with them. That builds your prayer life. See, that's a very different way of praying than going around thinking, well, you know, I've got this situation here, and now I've got to pray real hard so that God will do something about it. In other words, if you don't mind my colloquialism here, I got to butter God up enough until he thinks that I'm all right and then does what I'm hoping he's going to do. Why would you want to do that? That's an awful lot of effort going into getting the Almighty to change his mind when he's already got a mind for you that is beyond what you could ask or imagine. And you start tapping into that. You start listening for that. Instead of saying, God, this situation, it is so awful. You wouldn't believe it. Well, maybe you would, but you've got to do something about it. Instead, you go to God and say, what is it on your heart about this that's happening right now? And as we have from time to time pointed out, you could use the Lord's Prayer for that. You could just break it up and do it six parts, and you say, Lord, this situation, all right, what is it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you wait. And if something starts bubbling up or occurring to you or whatever, then it's something about the holiness and character of God that he wants to address in that situation. Or if nothing happens, you move on to the next one. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you wait. Something bubbles up. There's something about the will of God and the extension of his kingdom that is important in that situation. Or if that's nothing happens, you move on to the next one. Give us today our daily bread. There's something about God's provision. If something bubbles up. If nothing, you move on. Save us from the time of trial. And you wait. That's one way of doing it. And you want to get to the essential core of what Jesus is praying so that you can agree with it. That's Christian prayer. That's prayer that opens the eyes of your heart. That's prayer that creates within you a capacity that only comes from God. That is a prayer that gives you eyes to see what goes on in other people's lives the way Jesus sees them. That's what you want. That's what you want. We could be praying for each other that way. Could be praying for the vestry that way. Could be praying for the band that way. Could be praying for this 10 a.m. Sunday morning time that way. Lord, what's your desire? What are you praying right now for that? So that I can agree. Or anything else you're involved in. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. And anything and everything that you are in or that you touch or that you're part of, the Lord is there. And Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father for something to happen there. And what you want is what he is looking for in that situation. That is how all of that operates. That's how Epaphras operated. When you are worshiping, when you are singing praises to God, you know, especially here, there is something that God is doing in the middle of that. And as that is going on, there's something that's going on in your heart. And often as not, what will bubble up will be questions. Just things that start coming to the surface. And those might be questions you pray about. Jesus, as we were singing, this is what came up in my heart, or my mind, or my soul. And I want to know what you're thinking about that. What's on your mind and heart? Because I want your mind and your heart to move in that path. Jesus, this person that I deal with regularly just completely aggravates me, but I want to know what you are praying for them so that I can join in with that. Jesus, my life didn't turn out the way I had hoped it would turn out. The things that I really wanted to see happen never happened. What are you praying about that? Because I want to agree with you. That's what keeps the engine of prayer rolling. And that's a discipline. I'd much rather get up in the morning, present God my list, say, here it is, God. I'll check back tomorrow. But that never satisfies. It never provides. It never heals. It never opens up grace. It keeps the darkness of my own heart hidden. When I say, Lord Jesus, what are you praying about this? Light starts coming in to the places that are dark. Healing starts coming in to the places that are wounded. And the thing that I could never do by myself, even for my own healing, is accomplished by the grace of God. And by his word to me. And that will be the case for everyone. All of us here, everyone we know, everyone we have known, and everyone we will come to know. That will be what happens in prayer. So I commend this to you. Just start, even if it's for a half a minute, sitting before the Lord, saying, could I hear your voice? And see what happens. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you because you do come after us. You are praying for us now and you do speak. And we ask that our ears would be open to hear all that you are saying. For the glory of your name. Amen.